This is Issues and Ideas here on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Randall White. Your child has cancer is a devastating statement for a parent to hear, but one Central Coast man took that very moment to change his focus in life. Not only has he succeeded in helping his daughter become cancer-free, but he's created a structure for other parents and patients to follow should they hear similar statements about their children or their own health. Frank Kallman is the founder of the Kids Cancer Research Foundation, based in San Luis Obispo, and has authored a book on the subject titled Steps to Hope. He joins us in studio today to talk about his experience, as well as give some tips you can follow to make sure you're getting the best treatment plan possible for the specific type of cancer you or a loved one may have. Welcome to KCBX, Frank.
Thank you for having me.
I want to start with your daughter's situation because it's a story I believe can give encouragement to anyone facing a tough diagnosis. How long has it been since the original diagnosis?
It's going on 16 years. When she was first diagnosed, they told us that she had a 45% chance of survival. It took me about a month to figure out how to even say the cancer, which is neuroblastoma.
And that's a somewhat rare form of cancer?
Yes, it is. But it is the most common cancer amongst infants and very young children. It's a cancer of the nerve cells outside of the brain.
Mm. And so when you're faced with something like that and you're here on the Central Coast, what was your first thought?
Well, our daughter relapsed, and that's when everything changed. The numbers for survival go to zero. The doctors pulled us aside, and they said that she's not going to make it.
And how many years had that been after the original diagnosis?
That was about 9 months later. Mm. And my wife and I made a pact to each other that there would be no limit to what we would do. She took care of the kids, and it was my job to try to find the top guys, the most promising treatments. And we traveled all over the country, and she has been fighting this disease now for 15 years. She's relapsed 6 times, had 3 major surgeries, but we're extremely blessed because she's here with us today. She finished college a couple of years ago and has married, and she has a picture of her wedding on the wall of the doctors in New York, which is kind of rare for to have this kind of a picture.
Those doctors don't see a lot of that.
Correct. And
what are the main stumbling blocks that a parent or even an individual might have when it comes to having a successful outcome? In my mind, I would imagine it would be finding the right doctors for the right treatment and then paying for it.
Well, you nailed it. The book that I wrote, it is really accumulation of what I learned from my own experience, other members of our board on our foundation, and all the other parents and adults. And that is, today there's going to be 35,000 people diagnosed with cancer.
Just today?
Today. And 21,000 will pass. And those are pretty horrific numbers. But you can significantly increase your probability of a better outcome by just what you said, is identifying those people who are on the very cutting edge. And those people could be as far as 5 to 7 years ahead of anyone else. And the reason why is that hospitals have to make marketing decisions. What are we going to focus on? And so you need to find those centers that have made a commitment to your particular disease, because they will, again, be 5 to 7 years ahead of those hospitals that are strictly involved in administering the treatments.
The current administration is really kicking it up a notch when it comes to finding a cure for cancer. Mm-hmm. And you, earlier this year, had a chance to interact with the players in that.
With the help of Congresswoman Lois Capps, I sent a copy of the book to Vice President Biden, and 6 days later I received a invitation to come to the White House.
Six days?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting, and I was invited to represent pediatric cancer research at the summit.
What was the tone at that summit?
Listening to Biden, you could tell that where he was coming from was a father that endured a horrific loss,
right. And
he knew what he was talking about. He identified probably the most important issue is that in medicine, unlike the other disciplines in science, medicine does not share their information quickly like they do in astronomy and physics. And because of that, there's a huge delay in progress. For example, there was a study done that just came out recently that he cited that the NIH or NCI investigators, 75% of them won't turn in their work for a year or two later, if at all. The average mean time that the research papers come in is 51 months.
This is federally funded research.
Yes, and a lot of money is coming out of the government. But usually, you have teaming up with private industry, mm-hmm. so that will show up there as well. But the problem is this report came out just a few weeks ago in late September, I think, or early October. And it identified the issues, and it made some very good arguments why it would not accept the delay, because it actually delays life-saving treatments of disseminating throughout the country. But the problem is there's zero teeth in the document. No penalties, no nothing if people continue on this behavior.
This moonshot summit is a direct result of the vice president, correct?
The fellow who's taken charge of it right now, actually Biden has turned this over to a billionaire who happens to be a surgeon. He's like the richest fellow in L.A., but he's brilliant as well. And his name is Dr. Patrick Soon-Shiong, mm-hmm. and he's taken charge of the Moonshot Summit, Cancer Moonshot Summit.
So it will continue forward after this administration?
Correct.
Under this gentleman?
Correct.
Back to your top tips for what to do when you encounter a cancer diagnosis. Let's say you're successful in isolating the hospital and the doctor that you should be seeing regarding your type of cancer. How difficult is it to get in with that doctor? And then is it just priced out of this world for most people?
No, the book actually shows you how to overcome any financial challenges you may face. I remember there were times that I thought that we would run out of money, and then I realized that all you got to do is throw your body over the state line. And then you can take advantage of the state system to get into the top centers, like in New York or wherever else.
So when you say throw your body over the line, set up a residence there?
If you have to. There are families in Europe that bring their kids to the United States, and they have to come up with huge amounts of money, $500,000 before they're even let in. But the problem is it usually is a chronic issue, and it continues on. So you just can't keep coming back and back and back, mm-hmm. back and forth. But you had asked earlier, what is the biggest challenge in terms of trying to get the best treatment you can? And that is part of it is overcoming your own psychological barriers, which are, first of all, you're in a realm that I knew zero about. And then I was talking to two moms that really brought it home. I was talking to these two moms in New York at a Ronald McDonald House, and the one mom said is, you know, we're at one of the centers with, their child had the same disease as my daughter, and the doctors there said we have this under control. We know how to handle it. And after several weeks of no improvement, she made contact with a center that is focused on the disease and found out that they were giving her child the wrong treatment. Mm. And then the mom standing next to her said, my story is identical. I'm in the center part of the U.S. as well. They said that they had it under control. I lost my son. I found out later they were winging it. And this is very common. Many people don't realize that one-third of all cancer diagnoses are incorrect. 400,000 people die each year because of medical errors. And then what it really comes down to, again, as I want to emphasize, is what center you go to will have a huge impact on the outcome of your disease. And here's two points that you've got to keep in mind. One is your doctor can only allocate so much time to you. And the information out there today, there's going to be 8,000 cancer documents, research documents generated. There's no way in the world someone could keep up with that. And number two, you have to confirm anything that you hear or given advice to. The most important thing is trust but verify. You have to realize that ultimately you are the one that's going to live with the results.
And I imagine as a parent or as an individual, you want to hear good news.
Correct.
So if in the case of the mothers that you pointed out, the doctors were saying they had it under control, that's good news.
That's absolutely, yes, you can live with that.
So you want to hear that. So you want to believe it. But you're saying, no, you need to
confirm.
Verify. Yeah, confirm.
And even, and this is what I found out, in adults, only two, I've heard the number just the other day, I thought it was a little bit higher. They only 2% of adults fighting cancer are involved in clinical trials. Pediatrics, on the other hand, more than half of all children are involved in clinical trials. So when we got the bad news of what her outlook was, we were in the worst situation you could possibly imagine, is because you would have all these, you would have several clinical trials available, and then you would have the top doctors that we had been visiting. At one time I had three centers telling me three different things and what to do with my daughter. And here I am with a guy with a business degree trying to figure this out. But the point, I'm trying to make is you do want to go to those top centers and keep in contact with the handful, because the treatment may not work for you, whatever they're doing, and that's because of your genetic makeup. So then you would have the follow-up treatment. So you always you want to have backup. And the beauty of going to like one of the top centers where we go is they have a huge menu of options if things fail. And that's the beauty of a center that's focused on your disease.
Let's talk about your foundation, the Kids Cancer Research Foundation, based in San Luis Obispo. What's the focus of that foundation, and how do you keep it running?
The foundation was started 5 years ago. We had made friends with a group of kids at the very beginning of our daughter's journey into this, fighting this disease. And when that last child died, and that was 5 years ago, it was devastating. And so a friend of mine and I decided that let's start this thing, because we knew who the top guys were. I had spent the last 10 years searching for them. I had an open dialogue with them. And the one thing we kept finding out is, even though these large charities and the government indicate that they are supporting pediatrics, kids only get 1-4% of the funds for cancer research. So we decided to start raising funds for some of the most promising research that was available for kids. We've received lots of support here from our community. And the thing that we're proud of very, very much as well is we've gotten a lot of support from the big pharmaceutical companies.
I saw on your website that you recently teamed up with a Central Coast company, Amgen.
Correct. And they've given us 5 grants. And as I was speaking to one of their lead investigators, he said, the reason why we're supporting you is because you're going down the path that we think to where the future is. And that is we're focused on immunological approaches, training the immune system to fight cancer. Because if you can do that, you've basically got a smart bomb.
Does your book act as a fundraising tool for the foundation as well?
No, it isn't. It's part of one of the three things we do. One is we raise funds, and then the other thing we do is disseminate information that we gain to help people identify the top centers and increase their likelihood of a good outcome. And recently, we're starting to feel, get calls from parents from all over the country and the world who say, my child just relapsed, what do I do? And then the beauty of what we're able to do is have them talking to the top guys in the field who are dealing with this disease, who are advisors to our foundation. I'm very proud of our medical advisory board, because any child diagnosed with this disease, more than likely that child will be treated by the protocols developed by the doctors on our medical advisory board.
Well, for information on how to get your hands on Steps to Hope, the book written by our guest Frank Kallman, the founder of the Kids Cancer Research Foundation, and also a link to that foundation's website as well, head to kcbx.org, Issues and Ideas. Frank Kallman, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today, and keep up your efforts.
Thank you very much.
And this is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Randall White.